Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that we're able to come and look at your word. We thank you, Father, that unlike the Babylonians, that we do have a God who speaks. In fact, a God who has come in person through Jesus. And so right now, Lord, we pray that you'll open our ears and our hearts to hear and understand your word. In Jesus' name, amen. On April the 6th, 2009, there was a massive earthquake that hit the Italian city of Aquila, killing 308 people and injuring 1,600, leaving more than 65,000 people homeless. 3 months later, six scientists were investigated for manslaughter charges. Amazingly, they repeatedly gave assurance, saying there's no reason to suspect that the small earthquakes would be followed by a large earthquake. Many of the local citizens who were planning to leave their homes remained on the advice of these scientists. Many of these people were killed. However, the scientists around the world were outraged at this, saying, surely these scientists cannot be held responsible for something they cannot know. But the prosecution said this: it would be fine if the scientists hadn't claimed to know more than they knew. They claimed to know with certainty what they did not know. Sadly, this happens all too often with professionals, with experts making statements about important issues of life, giving assurances which they are never held accountable for. Well, the same thing happened 2,700 years ago in Babylon, which is now Iraq, in Iraq. These Babylonian professionals claimed to be able to interpret dreams. They were highly paid experts. They had what they call dream books. These dream books were quite thick. They consisted of thousands of dreams and the interpretation of dreams. And so if you had a bad dream and you could afford it, you would seek these experts and they would tell you what your dream meant. But the dream itself and the interpretation was really vague. It's a bit like reading the horoscopes in the newspaper today. The interpretation didn't make anything clear. These experts claimed that by dreams, by looking at the stars, they could have access to the gods. But here's the sad irony that we saw from chapter 1 of Daniel. Some of God's people who actually had the truth from the Creator himself gave up that truth and began to follow the Babylonians. They gave up the very truth that God had given to them. We see this in the teenager who's grown up in the church, who raised on solid food and willingly trades everything for approval in the world. This is the person who drifts away from their solid mooring because of neglect or just apathy of spiritual life. They lose connection with God's truth and begin to grope in the dark. Those who had the truth neglect it. This has always been a temptation for God's people who have the access to the God of heaven. Using sarcasm, the Lord says this to those who swapped his truth for a lie. God says in Isaiah 47, he says to his people, keep on with your magic spells. Keep on with your sorceries, which you've worked so hard since childhood. Perhaps you can succeed. Perhaps you can cause terror. All the advice you've received has only managed to wear you out, says the Lord. Let your astrologers and your stargazers make predictions. Let them save you from what's coming on ahead of you. Well, here in chapter 2, it's the opportunity for these professionals to shine. The king's had a nightmare. He wants to know what it means. He had a bad dream. But it turns out that the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, is not that convinced that these wise men are wise after all. It may have something to do with chapter 1, where he meets Daniel and the three friends and declares they were 10 times wiser than his experts. So King Nebuchadnezzar calls in the professionals and demands they tell him the dream. At first, they misunderstand his demand, and they say, well, tell us your dream, and we'll interpret it for you. A king says, no, no, no. He wants proof that they have access to the gods. He's paying good money. They're privileged people. Show me that you can do what you claim to do. Tell me my dream, or you'll all be killed. They can't believe their ears. All they can offer, all they've ever offered, are pat answers to deep questions of life. The professionals in the days of Jesus were the Pharisees. And like the Babylonian astrologers, many people turned to them. They sought access to God through them. And Jesus rebuked them, saying, you shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let others enter who are trying to enter. The Pharisees too enjoyed a great privilege, wealth and glory from their position. But then Jesus came and people saw the genuine article with the frauds, the hypocrite. You see, when we read this account in Daniel 2, we are meant to feel sorry for the enchanters and for the Babylonians in general. This is all they have to answer the deep questions of life. They are like Solomon and Ecclesiastes who tried to think of life without reference to God. What's life look like without God? He says it's meaningless. It's vanity. It's a chasing after wind. The ancient Greeks would go to the oracle to hear a young lady speak in gibberish under a drug-induced state. And someone would write down a rough interpretation. They paid lots of money trying to make sense of what the gods had for their future, and all they had for it was gibberish. They are no different to people in our own day, people who rejected God, rejected his word, and try to make sense of life. And they turn to horoscopes and psychics and clairvoyants, or they take bits and pieces of all the different religions and take comfort in that. The most common method today of seeking truth by those who reject God is by state that they're spiritual. People go, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Whatever that means. There are people today who are atheists who declare themselves to be spiritual. The singer Katy Perry grew up in a Christian home. She sang in church. She became a gospel singer. And then she writes this. She writes, I no longer believe in an old man sitting on a throne, but I am spiritual. I believe in a higher power bigger than me because that keeps me accountable. You reject God, but claim that you're spiritual. The experts in verse 11, they speak the truth when they say, what the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal the king's dream except the gods. And the gods do not live among men, they say. You see, the gods of the Babylonians were considered to be very distant. And they communicate via riddles and clues and hints to be interpreted. What a contrast from the God of heaven who came in flesh, who walked in our shoes, who demonstrated his love, and he hung on the cross. The Almighty wants nothing from us, but he's done all of this to share his infinite love and blessings to his people. What he expects today is faith and trust so that we can live the way God had created us to live, to put aside our rebellion and to walk in harmony with him. The situation for today is that the Lord has proclaimed an amnesty, a truce. It's an amnesty against sin to all who come to Jesus. And yet, during this amnesty, many will still continue to rebel against him, to refuse to accept that truce, They reject God's grace and therefore reject salvation. Because the experts cannot prove they have access to the gods, the king rejects their wise statements and he says, they are all sentenced to death. And once again, we see Daniel's wisdom. Daniel doesn't fall apart. He knows the Lord is sovereign. Even in Babylon, even in exile, the Lord is sovereign. And Daniel knows exactly what to do. Verse 18, he goes straight to his house. He tells his three friends and they begin to pray. And the Lord answers his prayer and reveals the dream to Daniel. And all Daniel can do is to praise God, the sovereign Lord who speaks to his people. The Lord revealed to Daniel what he's about to do in relation to the king and to the following empires. What a contrast to the magicians and the enchanters and astrologers who say to the king, no one can reveal this mystery to the king. The gods do not live among men. Now, if you think that Daniel was just lucky to be entrusted with God's plan, you've misunderstood the privileges that you have as a believer. We read in Ephesians 1:9, the Lord God has made known to you the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. He's made known to you. Jesus says in Matthew 11, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, but you have revealed them to your children. What you know, brilliant people in the world haven't got a clue. Children who've been raised to know God know more than the world's experts today. That's why catechisms were taught to them. Who am I? The answer the Bible gives, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am created in the image of God, in the likeness of God, and I have been made to have a relationship with him. Why is there suffering in the world? Because we have sinned and rebelled against God and reject his authority and have chosen to go our own way. Is there hope for mankind? The answer the Bible gives, there is. There's hope in Jesus, who came to die, who came to trade places with us, that he might give us his righteousness and that he might take our sin. Can I be guaranteed heaven? The answer is yes, by accepting God's gift. It is not by works that we are saved, but by faith in the Lord Jesus. The Bible gives answers to the deep questions of life. But many still rebel by neglecting God's truth, and they suppress that truth. Believe it or not, the Pharisees knew the scriptures really well, but it was of no use to them. I remember visiting a man who showed me his daily bread devotions. He'd been doing these Bible devotions since 1961. He had box after box after box. And yet, to meet him, you'd think it made no difference. There were non-Christians who were better off than he was. What's wrong? Jesus says to the Pharisees, you study the scriptures because you think by them you'll possess life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, and you refuse to come to me to have life. We can read the scriptures till the cows come home. We can read it for 50 years, 60 years. But if we don't put them in practice, they are of no use whatsoever. Well, the king is furious at his wise men, and he sentences them to death. And we see the tension as Daniel is brought in before the king. And the official says in verse 25, I found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream is. What a relief. And the king did not want an interpretation. No, he wants to know the dream itself. So the king asks Daniel, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? And Daniel says, no, No wise man can explain to the king the mystery he asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Don't look at me, says Daniel. I'm not the one, but God can. And Daniel proceeds to tell the king precisely what he saw in his dream and to interpret it for him. Friends, what a shock this would have been for King Nebuchadnezzar to have every aspect of his dream accurately described. You can't fake this. No way. You can fake the interpretation, you can't fake this. And in his dream, King Nebuchadnezzar is given a preview of what the Lord Almighty is doing through his life and through his kingdom. First, he establishes King Nebuchadnezzar and tells him there will be many kingdoms that will follow you. And Daniel informs the king that God will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. An eternal kingdom. The kingdom of God that Jesus will establish by his death and resurrection. And that is why when Jesus came and began his ministry, he said, "Behold, the kingdom of God is now here. Repent and believe." Well, King Nebuchadnezzar is so humbled that he falls prostrate before Daniel and pays him homage. But even the king realizes this does not come from Daniel, wise as he may be. He says in verse 47, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings. He is the revealer of mysteries, and that is why you are able to reveal this mystery to me." The king was awestruck at hearing a glimpse of God's unchangeable plan. Dear friends, how grateful should you and I be? We have been shown the whole of God's plan, not a glimpse. Jesus came in person so that we're not get little clues and hints here. He came to speak clearly. We have been given God's word and the scriptures as our foundation. God has given us his spirit to live in us as our guide. God has given us his church as a support. He's given us his guarantee that cannot be broken. We live in a world today where our wise men and they've rejected God. And they are like the enchanters and stargazers. They make many pronouncements on things based on their foolish wisdom. And we see the consequence in society today. Whitney Houston was one of the greatest voices of our time. And she too began her singing career in church. She was in a gospel group singing "Praise the God of Heaven." And like many of her peers, she too gave in to the pressure to leave God and go the way of the world. What was her reward for that loyalty? You look at her life. She ended up with a very empty and troubled life. Broken relationship after broken relationship, loneliness, guilt. Eventually, her life ended with drugs and alcohol at an early age. Was it worth the trade? This story is repeated over and over and over again. The world makes grand promises for you, but it delivers only misery and death. King Nebuchadnezzar recognizes that his power and his glory are not his own doing. The Lord God had given it to him. There is a God in heaven who rules. But as we shall see, this was no life-changing experience for King Nebuchadnezzar. It wasn't. Slowly, he drifts back into his own glory, his own arrogance. He is like so many people, like those who experience the loss of a close friend in an accident, or they experience a near-death experience, a life-changing jolt. All of a sudden, they're shaken by the frailty of life, the brevity of life, and begin to question the meaning of life. But you know, when they get back to normal again, back to the routine, they forget that spiritual impulse. They put it down to some emotional experience and put it behind them and continue on as they normally have. That's what he does. The Bible tells us that the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. And yet there are many people who place their faith in such foolishness, who reject the word of God. We should be more skeptical of the experts when their wisdom is contrary to the word of God. Psychologists and scientists and sociologists and many experts, they make pronouncements on so many things which are contrary to the scriptures. And yet people think, well, they're experts, aren't they? What folly that is, to give up on the clear word of God and follow the wisdom of the world. A few days ago, I was called to visit a man I'd never met before. He was dying and he only had a few weeks to live. His body was broken in so many ways, but his mind was very lucid. And as I sat next to him, he said, I'm actually a fence sitter. I'm unsure which side I'm on. He'd lived his life, his 73 years, never thinking about eternity or death or God. It was a gamble. I asked him, had he read the Bible? He's a good reader, but he hadn't. I challenged him, do not gamble your life with eternity. Eternity is too important. That's what we do when we ignore God's word and go with our wisdom. We're hoping for the best, hoping that in the next life I got it right. King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel because he was shown a glimpse of what the Bible tells us. And yet daily, as we open the scriptures, we see the revealed plan of God for us through Jesus. We have been given a roadmap that leads to eternity. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And those who find him find everything. We should rejoice in that truth. How can we envy those in the world? Shall we swap the truth of God for a lie? The wisdom of God for foolishness? Shall I sell my spiritual birthright for a pot of stew, as Esau does? To those who dismiss the love of Christ and his call for relationship, it will be a great shock to realize in the end it was all true. Listen to Daniel. He says in verse 45, the great God has shown the king what will take place. The dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy. The dream is true and trustworthy. Later on, Paul describes the Christian faith to the King Agrippa, saying, it is reasonable and true. The God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Are you part of that kingdom? Do you rejoice and thank God for giving you answers to life that the world is still trying to figure out? Do you cherish the word of God, which is a lamp to our feet, a light for our path? Or do we gamble with eternity? I hope it works out in the end, hoping for the best. When Nathanael first met Jesus, one of the disciples, Jesus said to him, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree. Nathanael was amazed and said, oh, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus says, you're amazed at this? You shall see greater things than this. The Apostle Paul says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has prepared for those who love him. May God expand your understanding today of his unconditional love and grace. May he give you wisdom as we journey through this world, and not to trade our spiritual birthright for a pot of stew, but to guard it well. For in Christ alone we have every blessing, here and into eternity. Let us cling to him and him alone. Let us pray.